Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to remind you of some things. Michael and Don O'Brien will be here next Sunday. And Michael has been a pastor. He's now traveling ministry. And he and his wife are just really wonderful, powerful people. You'll really love him. He's the guy that years ago in his youth had the experience of actually physically dying. And he OD'd on drugs and actually spent a brief time in hell. And but he's not in hell anymore. And he came back. He said evidently somebody must have been praying for him, and he escaped. But he's going to tell us some of that, but he's also a teacher of the Word, so I'm not sure how much of the testimony. I'm going to ask him to please share that, because he's written a book called To Hell and Back, and he'll have that book. So just a short book. He'll have that here with him. Jim and Kathy Martin are coming the end of next month, and Jim is... They're just wonderful, some of our closest friends, and Jim is just one of the best teachers that I know and one of my personal favorite teachers, and he'll be here with us Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the two of them, and they will be ministering, and he's communicated with me already and said that God has given him, started a long time ago, months ago when he got the invitation, on some specific instruction for Immokalee. So I'm excited about that. I want to hear what God has to say. And we pray about everybody coming in here. And Gary and Sue will be back in May, but we do not give out every invitation, no matter who of my friends have been here before, is not automatic. It's considered in the spirit. Sometimes I will pour over them for weeks in prayer to make sure that everything is supposed to happen as it is. Pastor Dave will be back again in November. Pastor Dave is on will call. He said he'll come even before November if necessary. He understands that there's a strong potential for a breakthrough and a revival here, and he's willing to come at any time, pretty much, if we request him. So, praise the Lord. Are you excited about Jesus? Me too. I'm excited about being born again and going forward in 2014. So, this morning's message is going to be unusual. We're going to get into places that we normally never go to, but I can promise you that it is ordained by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave me these things to say, and so we're going to get ready for that in just a moment. But I'm going to ask you, out of the abundance of your heart and out of the grace that is in this place already this morning, to consider what you'll give to the Lord, your part in making and helping this ministry go forward. Hallelujah. I know that you understand this, but in the 17 years that I've pastored here, actually closer to 20 because we were a couple of years over in the other house, I have yet, and you're probably the same testimony for you personally, I have yet to have any angels show up with money. It's amazing. You know how God has supplied and met all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Through people that work, that get a paycheck, and say part of this paycheck belongs to Jesus. And that's how He does it. Kenneth Hagin said, if He gave you a bunch of money from heaven, He'd be a counterfeiter. God doesn't make money in heaven and give it to you. He doesn't steal from other places. And so He just gives it through people like you. So you are God's messengers today. And if you hear His voice and whatever He tells you to do, and If you have a struggle within you and you say, okay, I got two amounts, the bigger amount is always God. Okay? Just kidding. Kind of. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to receive your grace and your glory. We bless this time of giving and receiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you would, please. And I know you've had a time of greeting, but we'll make this abbreviated. Why don't you stand with us? And why don't you go ahead and maybe you missed one person. You can turn to that person, greet them before it's time to sit back down. Hallelujah. All right, Rex, if you'll take the mic and just bless it, please, for us.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this offering, Lord, and as we give, Lord, we give out of the abundance of our hearts, and that amount is already said, and whatever we give, Lord, is for you and for the kingdom, Lord, and we thank you for the growth and the things coming in the near future, Lord, and all the needs are met in this church, and all the needs are met in the body, and we thank you for it now in advance, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll let these guys come around and get settled. If we had one more to worship through, we would, but let's just give them a little bit of time because I want them being able to hear and listen to what you'll get to listen to. So just lift those hands. Just worship him just a little bit more. Father, we give you glory. We thank you so much. I mean, just elaborately furnish our worship and praises with the thanksgiving of everybody that is here. And Lord, we're so thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then those that will listen through the website in just a few days to this message. We love them as well. Father, we pray that those that will be listening to this message in different parts of the United States and different regions of the world, wherever that may be, that Lord, that you will touch their hearts and that they will know that truly, Lord, if they're listening and they're agreeing with your word, that we're all one family in Christ and we bless them wherever they're at. And we pray blessings over their children and blessings over their family and blessings over their storehouse. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. We ask you now to bless our time in the Word, and we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you turn with me to a scripture that we were at 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, we taught the first part of this, and that's in 3 John. There's three little Johns in the back of your book, the back of your Bible. 3 John chapter 1, which is the only chapter. And we'll launch from there. And in just a moment, I'm going to read this. I'll read it first out of the King James, because that's where we were at 2 weeks ago. Give me just a moment, because I had it open in another translation. And then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. We began to talk to you 2 weeks ago about preparing for 2014 and preparing yourself and getting ready and allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare you to go further in God than you ever have before. And further in God, for us at that time, for what God was speaking during that time and what He's speaking today, meant change. It meant what the world calls resolutions, but even though the world coins it as resolutions, in other words, goals for change. We in the church, spiritually, we find the words that back up the necessity for having an attitude, a disposition, a posture in your heart for always changing and always going forward. So what that resolution in the spirit is first spiritual, but then it's inclusive. Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundantly. Now that life that he came to give us is not just the eternal life, it's the eternal life of God. That's one of the 10 attributes of God is eternal life. But that eternal life does not start when you die. That eternal life does not start when you go to heaven. That eternal life has already started now. You're going to always live forever somewhere. And if you're born again, you're always going to live with God and with his family. And you're going to live here on this earth forever and forever and forever. But the eternal life of God starts now. And that eternal life of God is an all-inclusive. When he said, I came to give you life, the number one thing was spiritually. Because without the spiritual life of God, you couldn't have any of the rest. You are always going to have a body. It's just not going to be a physical body. One day, this physical body is going to change into a glorified body. You are always going to have a mind. The mind of Christ that you have that is physically located in your natural cognizant brain, that mind of Christ is going to go with your spirit, and your spirit is also going to be located in something that looks just like you, which is a glorified body. You'll always have a thinking brain, but it'll be in a glorified body. You're always going to be you somewhere. It's just that you're going to be better off in a better place. God wants you to have his blessings on you now, spirit, soul, and body. In fact, we teach so strong about the spirit here, and we will continue. 99.9% of the teachings that you hear around here start in the spirit and they end in the spirit. But so oftentimes we have a real strong weakness concerning things of the physical. And things of the physical can affect things of the spiritual if the spiritual applications are not made to change things in the physical. And you'll know more about what I'm saying in just a little bit. But we want to read 3 John, the first, second verse. And this is what John writes. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in what? Health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now that word there is the word psuche. It's not the word pneuma. The word pneuma is the word for your spirit. This is the word psuche, which means your soul. Your soul is your emotions. Your soul is your mind, your thinking, your ability to reason. How did I get to church? Because I had a mind to drive me here. Your spirit didn't drive you here. Your soul did. He wants blessings on your soul. He also wants you to be in health. That's your body. John, in 3 John verse 2, in the Amplified, says this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your souls keep well and prosper. So that's out of the Amplified. As I said, this verse actually covers all three parts. It really does, because we know that Jesus first came to give us born again life in our spirit. But he goes on in this verse to amplify, he wants blessings on your mind, on your emotions. He wants blessings on your body. Now let me cover real quick. Parts of this we're going to cover more quickly. And then other parts we may slow down. Let me rehearse or review just for a couple of minutes, just for a few minutes, 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday, Pastor Homer taught, and we're going back to 2 weeks ago, preparing our lives for 2014. We begin to say this: where do you want to be at the end of 2014? What does the first service in 2015 want to look like to you? Do you want to be able to answer, I went further in Christ than ever before? I changed some things about me. I changed some things where I'm more lovable, I'm more kind. I got to know God in a different way. Things changed for me physically. My body got healed in this area, or I did some things physically for myself that I've never been able to attain. Or I graduated in places of attitude. I graduated in places. There were some changes taking place. And I hear that I need to move on because there's quite a bit to cover here. That's what the world calls resolutions. But the Holy Spirit teaches us in the Word of God that God wants us in an attitude of changing from glory to glory. Now, we rehearsed kind of emphatically what our vision is around here. Our vision, God has said, I want you to receive an outpouring. We call it revival. Other people call it renewal, restorations. It means different. It all kind of means the same. The bridegroom is coming back. We want to prepare for him a habitation. Individually, and first and foremost, what makes up the vision is this is our call, is to change and help transform you into the image of Christ. For you to get to know him intimately, so that everything that he's given to you in the inheritance changes you, beginning first with the born-again nature. And then, secondly, which should happen simultaneously, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said this, and I think that all of you that have been here any time will agree, this is a training center. It's not primarily a church. We're hoping that this is a training center. And it's training. This would have a negative connotation in the world. It's training radicals. Now, we're not going to go hurt anybody if you're listening to this in the world. We're not going to make bombs, and we're not going to stand with rifles and bayonets, but we are radicals in Christ. We believe that Christ has given us a mandate, and we believe that that mandate is to receive an outpouring through Christ and through Christ alone. And through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we believe that God is going to empower us to get past everything that this church could possibly be fought against by Satan and eventually enter into what he has asked us to receive, and that is a tremendous outpouring where thousands and thousands are born again in this region. The Lord has said to us recently, you don't have just a citywide call, you have a regional call. And that I heard that from the Lord. We're specialists. We're training specialists. We're training people to be the best that you possibly can. And this morning you'll hear more about spirit, soul, but we're going to get to the end, and that is in the area of the body. We said this, and you've heard this cliche so many times, and let me just say, one of our foundation stones is change. It's change. Wednesday night we taught a vintage message. A vintage message around here is forgiving. In other words, you can't go on in Christ unless you forgive everyone. Now, there's ways to do that. But if you're not walking in forgiveness, we also found out through Paul's writings that no matter who you are, no matter what scripture you know, and no matter how much power you're walking in, if you walk in unforgiveness, sickness can come on your body. And many were weak and sick, and many eventually died because they would not get rid of the unforgiveness. Did they go to heaven? Yes. Did they die early? Yes. Well, I hate a lot of people, but I'm going to live a long time. Probably not. Probably not. You probably won't, because the sickness will eventually take up a resident disease inside of you. But guess what? There's hope. I can tell you how to get rid of that. I can tell you how to get rid of that and love people once again. That's what we teach here. Insanity, what? That's what you teach here? No. Insanity is doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. In fact, if you keep the same time schedules this year that you kept last year, if you don't spend any time in Christ, and you just rarely pray, and you just rarely open your Bible, and you just rarely do things. Basically, if your pattern in 2014 is basically the same pattern 2013, you can expect no spiritual growth. That doesn't mean that you were not already accepted in Christ, but basically you'll be the same at 2014, and it's insanity to think you'll be anything different. Something has to change for something to become different. It just has to. You can't do something repetitively and expect it to change in and of itself. Time does not change things. People say time changes things. Time does not change things. Time plus effort and time plus understanding and time plus change, doing things differently, changes things. Hallelujah. So you understand that. We said this, you must set realistic goals. Realistic goals are like, you can't not be not praying now and say, you know what, I want to start praying 3 hours a day or 4 hours a day. You're not going to keep those appointments. If you're not praying at all, then you're going to hear a continual message around here for time to come. Get to know Christ. He loves you already if you're born again. He loves you before you were born again. You are accepted in Him, but we continually teach around here, make appointments and keep those appointments. Keep those appointments like your life depends on it. In fact, I wrote this paragraph down as he gave it to me last night. It says, appointments with God are the most productive thing that one can do in 2014. People with hearing ears will hear, and old timers or people that have been praying, continue to listen. First, they must be set through a product of the imagination. In other words, you have to imagine when I'm going to make that appointment and how I'm going to keep it. Now, I can make you feel bad, and I don't want to make you feel bad because he doesn't want to make you feel bad, and I don't want him to spank me afterwards. But I think I can go this far to saying this. If you get in a doctor's appointment tomorrow, you had it scheduled for 2 weeks, and you got a hurt, or you got an owie, or you got to go back to get more medicine to help that owie go away, you will not be 30 minutes late for that appointment because somebody else will get your spot. You will not be. You will, and yet you'll move whatever it takes. You'll get up early enough to be there on time, do what you need to do to be there, and you will make that appointment, you'll rearrange your schedule, you'll have somebody babysit the kid, or you'll do this, or you'll do that, or you will be there at that doctor's. If your tooth is hurting, and he says be there at 9 o'clock, and you've got an abscess tooth, you will be there at 9 o'clock to get that tooth out. You'll be there. The difference is, when it comes to coming to church, being on time, well, I had this come up and I had that come up. You know what the best way to get on church at time? Start earlier. Just start earlier. Well, I just start earlier. Listen, you are so, now you say, now you're really getting down, you're meddling. You're missing, if you're coming in at the end of worship, you're missing the prelude to us going into the glory. Now, if you've spent an hour and a half to 2 hours in your room worshiping God, and you got in the car and they drove you here and you're 30 minutes late and you come in drunk on the Holy Spirit, that's a license to be 30 minutes late. But if you've been eating your Captain Crunch and watching TV or walking around in your boxer shorts before service and it's 10 after 10 and you haven't left the house, what is wrong with me today? Okay, keeping appointments with God, they're vitally important. They must be kept through the empowerment, not of the flesh or the mind, but through intimate trust in the Holy Spirit. These appointments will be the best service, will best serve when they are treated as if our life depends on it. That's, I believe, an absolute truth. Now, we said the best ways, and we're almost done with just a review, the best ways to keep goals are this. You need to say it. You know, when God created the earth, he didn't go, The Holy Spirit would have said, what's No, he'd have known. But he said, let there be light. And Colossians says, everything come out of the second member of the Godhead, which is Christ. All matter came out of Christ. He was the Logos then. He wasn't a son. He was and is in that dimension an equal part of a triune Godhead. They all worked together. Then the Holy Spirit did what the Father, the Holy Spirit took the glory that came out of Christ and formed the earth and formed, it's amazing how they worked together. But you must say something for it to come alive. The first time anything comes alive is when you begin to say it. Then you need to begin to confess it to God. If it's a positive confession and it's word-based, now you can't confess somebody else's husband. God's not going to do that for you. He's not going to give you somebody else's wife. I confess she's mine. Well, you need to get saved. Hallelujah. And then you need to tell somebody. If you tell somebody, it will... Can you turn that off? Now I'm getting kind of... It's probably the glory on me. Once you tell somebody, it also becomes alive. It also becomes part of... And also you put yourself out there to be hung. You're like, oh, I told him. I wish to God I told him. I wouldn't have told him I was going to lose 20 pounds this year. But it puts you in a position where it makes you accountable. And most people will say, well, I don't want to do that. You're not taking the first step. You don't have to tell everybody in the church. We don't really want to know. But tell your spouse or tell your, you know what, God's told me to do this, and I'm going to do it. I believe I can do it. Then in Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3, why don't you try to turn there? I want to see if you can turn there. Those of you that wonder where Habakkuk is, it's Nahum. We could sing the song, but we don't have time. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew. So you start backing up from the middle part of your Bible. Haggai 2. Now we're not going to go into, we can't go into the context of this, but we just want to make a point here. And we're not going to destroy the context. We're just going to tell you this. Sometimes writing something down is what it needs to have the empowerment of it. Now, God told Haggai, it says, I will stand, verse 1 of chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch and set me, or this is what Haggai wrote, and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what shall I answer when I am reproved? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. In other words, write it down and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, the one point there is in verse 2. That he said, write it down, and as a result of writing it down, it will empower you to run with it. So that's vitally important. So we're kind of up to, last part. We said, if you want more time in this year, there's no more time. It's 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to at least get alone with the Holy Spirit for him to begin to elaborate to you and tell you where your time is being robbed, or where you can buy more time. You can buy more time in the Holy Spirit speaking to you of those unproductive areas of lost time. A lot of times that's in hobbies and things that you think, I've got to do this. And you can continue to do that, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will curtail it. Sometimes he'll ask you, hey, instead of spending 2 hours a day doing that, how about giving me 1 hour of that? So the Holy Spirit a lot of times will do that. Job changes. People. Boy, Homer, if you've not heard him recently, God has given him a job change that has totally changed his life. And he's been praying about that for over a year now. And man, what a challenge that was. And we had the privilege of walking through that with him. But people, sometimes people can be, Sometimes there are some relationships God does not want you involved in as much as you think. Well, I'm going to disciple them. Listen, some people are black holes. They are black holes. You can believe for them to go to glory with you, but you can pour and pour and pour and pour time and time and energy and counsel and counsel and counsel and counsel, and you'll never fill that hole up. Well, I'm going to make them a project. You're going to make them a project at the expense of God using you to touch people that are hungry and will listen and go further. I'm not telling you to abandon people. I'm telling you that there are black holes that you can never fill up, and you better listen to the Holy Spirit when He says, look, you better trust them to me, but you got to go on. You got to go on. Praise God. Thank you. And smart. Okay, here's another area. The Holy Spirit wants to make you smarter so that your job is, so that the smarter you are about what you know, the more that you can cut corners without the cost. You can make shortcuts. Go to people. The Holy Spirit will help you to say, look, Proverbs says, he that has a vision will intermingle himself with all knowledge. In other words, talk to people that are smarter than you. Go to the Word. Listen to the Holy Spirit, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, go talk to somebody that's smarter than you about this thing. Listen, I would go talk to somebody in the world that has made money. I would sit down. I would not have a bit of problem in talking to somebody that has made money. If I had a money issue, if I didn't know how to budget, if I didn't know how if I was wondering about this job that I had, and I knew a millionaire and I knew somebody that had made it, I would go listen, because I'm not asking their counsel in spiritual things. If they've made it in one area, it's wise. Listen, don't go talk to your broke friends about how to get out of debt. Don't talk to somebody laterally, somebody that's on the same plane with you. I mean, if their debt is way up to here and they're burdened down with credit cards and they can hardly make it, and listen, God's going to bring them all out of all of that if they get smart too. But don't go to them for counsel. I need counsel. Why? So you can get as broke as they are? No. Go to counsel above you. Get smarter than you. Go to places where you can learn. Go to college. Take a night course. Do something to change what your present status is. Colleges are not from the devil. Education is not from the devil. Wisdom of this world sometimes can help you tremendously. And the Holy Spirit will encourage that as you go forward. Wow, we have so much to cover, so little time to cover. We obviously spend a lot of time in one part around here that we love so much, and that's praying in tongues. Praying in tongues does this. It does a number of things for you. In 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us that it is an edification gift. Edification means it builds us up. Now, we're going to talk about those three parts. To start with, we're going to talk about the Spirit, but we're going to graduate here in just a moment to talking about one that is usually talked about the least, and yet it has a tremendous effect upon our spiritual life, and that is the body. And listen, we're not a body conscious, okay, love of body. Who's the handsomest around here? Who's the best build? Who's at the gym? You're going to hear 99.9% of the messages around here about going into Christ spiritually. And that is why, that's what we function. But listen, there's a weakness among us. And the weakness is, so oftentimes, things in our body or about our physical life are affecting. And if you don't think that they cannot affect your spiritual life, you are absolutely wrong. They can affect, your body can affect your spiritual life. And we're going to talk about this from the wisdom of God in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, He edifies us when we pray in tongues. Romans 8 says He goes after infirmities. If you've got infirmities in your mind or in your flesh, the Holy Spirit will pray for you concerning those infirmities. He also will pray the direction of your life. He that knows the mind of the Spirit, which is the Spirit, will pray for you according to the will of God. Do you know my next 6 months and my next year is being prayed for me right now? I mean, not just right now, but when I go home tomorrow or tonight and I pray in tongues, unless I go into a kind of superimposed tongue, then my daily edification is praying about my future. It's going to The Holy Spirit will make you smarter, because what He will do is you will graduate, or gravitate is the word I wanted to say. You will gravitate towards your pre-planned future. Somebody says, well, everything happens for a reason. For my life, it does. For my life, and I know when Satan tries to come to interrupt that, but for my life, I have a destiny. Why? Because my days are being planned out. I know where I'm supposed to be, who I'm supposed to be talking to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is praying for our future. Jude, verse 20 and following, tells us that the Holy Spirit builds us up and keeps us in the love of God. Now, how many of you want to walk more in the love of God in 2014? Now, I'm obviously going to skip some stuff here. We could just teach for days, and we have, on spirit, the edification of the spirit, the soul. Everything that's applicable to the spirit, like praying in tongues, will affect your mind as well. All of the limbs that can build up your spirit. We talk about, Candy said Friday night when we were on a discussion about hyper grace, and she said, praying in tongues is like the salt that seasons all the other kinds of understandings or inroads. In other words, if you pray in tongues, you won't get off on any of the other inroads. And when I say inroads, for those of you that may be wondering what's an inroad, praying in tongues is one that we call an inroad. In other words, it helps us get closer to Christ. It doesn't save us. It only brings to a forward position. In other words, if I'm standing here and I'm already who I am, but that's the mark, I come to a forward position by praying in tongues, because it tells my spirit, this is who you are. It mirrors my spirit and says, this is who you are. Come forward. Believe who you are. Have trust in Christ and come forward. Private worship, meaning not just here corporately, but private worship has a very, very powerful part in building us up, not just in our spirit, but also in our soul. But our soul, anything that you could say about the spirit, our soul can be affected. The word affects our soul. It renews it. How many of you know you can be really, really down, and if you start reading the word, it can pick you up. It can enlighten you. It can affect your soul. So the soul can be affected by praying in tongues, confession of the word, meditation of the word, private worship. We won't even go into that bad four-letter word, or fast, or fasting. That don't start. Okay. Let's just talk about, skip over and go to a place that it's not eternal. Your body is not eternal, but it is important. Believe me, it's vitally important. It's not eternal, so as a result of it not being eternal, so oftentimes it gets such a lack of consideration among Christians and even in our message. But let me just make some comments. If you're sick or infirmed, let me ask you this. Will it affect your spiritual life? Absolutely. You say, well, no, it doesn't change who I am in the spirit. I'm not saying it changes who you are. Will it affect your spiritual life? Will it affect your focus? Yes. Can it have a drain against your spiritual life, as in appointments, like what God can tell you to do and what He wants you to do? Can it keep you from being able to witness if your body is sick, or you've got a headache, or you've got a disease, or you're having to run to the doctor twice a week or three times a month? And can these things affect you? Can it affect your outreach? Can it affect your finances, which also starts another avalanche of problems which can affect you spiritually? Because if you're honed in on thinking about your body and then your finances, and you're not going to go sometimes into that prayer closet because you're just so down and depressed, or you're fighting. Can the body affect us? Absolutely so. It can make major effects. Our number one application usually is and always will be spiritual. So don't think, oh, pastor's going to get off on body beautiful stuff. I'm not. You know me better than that. But should we be mindful? Absolutely so. God is not just a God of the spirit. Let me tell you that. He's concerned about you, spirit, soul, and body. John 3, verse 2, that you prosper above all things and be in health, This is what God wishes for you. This is what I wish for you above all things, as your soul prospers. So God's not just, he's not just concerned about your spirit. So the word absolutely teaches us that everything, as I said at the beginning, is included in this. God's mind, his mind for us is this, that not only this morning, but as you move forward in 2014, that you have an understanding that this is all pieces of a puzzle. The number one thing that you have to keep is this: God is spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and truth will go forward in him. As we go forward in the spirit, then he takes us as children and talks to us and ministers to us about our soul and about our body. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26. Why don't you turn there with me? Because I want to make an example out of that scripture, or he does. 1 Corinthians 9:26 the body is not important, it's not important. I just want to hear a spiritual sermon all the time. Well, this is a spiritual sermon about the body. He says in verse 26, Paul says, I therefore so run. In other words, that he's not talking about, he's given an example of the Olympic Games, but he's talking about his ministry and his life in Christ and going forward. He said, I run not as uncertainty. And he says, so fight. And he is talking about physical boxing here. Scholars will agree that he's talking about the physical fighting or the boxing, but he's not talking about physically boxing. He's using that as a way of something to wrap your mind around. He's saying, I'm fighting my warfare, and I'm running in the Spirit. I'm going forward. I'm fighting in the Spirit, but I'm not doing it with uncertainty, not as one that beats the air. In other words, it's not like I don't know what I'm punching. I do know what I'm fighting. I do understand. But this was what Paul's, this was his understanding. This was his fulcrum, meaning this was his focus. He said, I keep under, I bring my body under and bring it into subjection. Does everybody see the word body there? That is not the word spirit. He's not talking about spiritual things. He's talking about bringing the body under subjection. Why? Because the body, if it gets out of sorts, and if it does its own thing, it's going to have an effect on your spiritual walk. Does everybody understand that? He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, the word castaway there means to be disqualified. And he's talking completely there about games and the Olympic Games, as using it as an analogy. He says, look, I bring my body. He said, I temper my body. I bring it under a temperament. So, and the reason why he did was Paul was not putting on a fashion show. In fact, there's other places where where he was, I've read and taught before that Paul was actually one of the things that the Judaizers or the false teachers had in pretense against him. They said his appearance is contemptible. In other words, he's an ugly man. Isn't that amazing? Paul was not a fashionable man. He was not in appearance a robust, good-looking preacher, but yet he walked in more power than probably anybody of the New Testament. And this he wrote. He didn't write it because he was trying to look good. He didn't write it because he was wanting to, you know, have some kind of fashion statement. He said, look, for me to carry on my ministry and for me to go forward in Christ, I must continually keep under or bring my body under subjection to myself. Now, can I get an amen on that? Praise God. No matter how powerful you are in the Spirit or what you know. Now, listen to this. This is very important. No matter how powerful you are in the Spirit or what you know, if your body breaks down, that's where you're at. If it breaks down on the side of the road, that's where you're at. Well, you got all this revelation. Wonderful. And I'm not demeaning that. But if your body breaks down and you can't jumpstart it and you can't do anything about it, that's where it's at. You may be filled with knowledge. Listen to this, natural. You may be a Lamborghini. You may be a Porsche. But if you break down physically in the spirit on the side of the road and cannot carry out your ministry, VW bugs are going to be passing you by. And you're going to be looking at them. I know a whole lot more than them. I got a heritage. I got 30 years and no one got. Listen, but yet they're doing stuff and they're getting stuff done and they're witnessing to people. But you're too sick to go forward. And your energy level won't allow you to get stuff done. But does God want you healthy? Yes, He does. And listen to me, please, by any means, and I'll do this at this point because I'm hearing to do this. Sickness does not mean that you have sin in your life. Sickness does not mean that you're any less to God or that He's any less pleased with you. And it doesn't matter what has come against you or what you're facing this morning. We've all faced it. We've all faced it in 2014. And a lot of our elders have walked through things physically, myself included, in 2014, that were challenges that were superimposed on us, not so much as a result of our own faults, but just because we are walking forward and the enemy is coming to fight us in every way that he can. But this is what I know also. I know that I get this picture in my mind, and I hope that you've seen these before. We used to play with these little things called Magna Doodles. Now, a Magna Doodle is a piece of cardboard with a bunch of iron shavings on it with a plastic top. That's the best I can explain it. And it's got a magnet, a straight bar magnet that comes with it. And usually those old Magna Doodles had a picture of a man's face there. Now, the iron shavings or the metal shavings, you could take the magnet and you could pick up portions of the iron shavings and you could move it around and then you could pull the magnet and it would drop wherever you left it at, wherever you wanted it to be. In other words, you can put eyebrows on this guy, you can put a Fu Manchu on him, you can make him whatever you want him to be through that Magna Doodle. Listen, as us going forward, there are going to be fights in the spirit that you did not initiate yourself. In other words, Satan hates you because you're going forward and because you're part of this ministry and you're part of this church and you're part of, hey, let's win the world for Christ. The part that I don't want to give him is this. I don't want any iron shavings in my life that he's able to magnetize to. In other words, I want to take out all and any kinds of things that I am participating in. Jesus said it like this, just before he died, the wicked one is coming. I can see him across the room. He's coming and he's going to come to try to stop me from going to the cross. Listen, if Jesus had ever, in the 33 years that he lived, if he had ever looked at a woman wrong and hid it in his heart, at that moment in time, just before the cross, the Magna Doodle magnate, which is Satan himself, would have taken his drawing card of what was in Christ's heart and he would have taken and put that maximum pressure on it and he would have stopped him from going to the cross. He'd have stopped him. It would not have been his. If Jesus would have accepted sickness at any time, I am sure, I am just positive that while he walked and talked, and I'm sure that at times something tried to come on his body, that he could feel a sniffle coming. He could feel a little sore throat maybe trying to approach him. I'm sure that he stood against it in the spirit and he would not allow it in his body and he walked past it and it never got in. His temperature never went up. He was okay. But I'm sure that Satan had to approach him time and time again. He ultimately wanted to put cancer on him. He ultimately wanted to kill him. If Jesus would have ever given permission, the Magna Doodle magnate, if he had ever given him permission, at any point, when he comes, he's going to put magnitude of pressure on that area. Listen, I want to take all the iron shavings out of my life. In other words, I want to make it really, really super hard for him to get anything over on me. He's going to come no matter what. I just don't want to participate in his coming. Is that fair enough? Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing okay? Woo, praise God. Just wave at me like this. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. So, we're going to talk about we're going to talk about the body just for a few minutes, because this is real unusual, but the Holy Spirit said to do it, because we want you healthy in 2014, and we want you progressing towards 2015. One of the best things I can tell you to do for your body, and we're not going to spend much time on this, and I'm going to really talk really, really, really fast, is fasting. That's a spiritual application, but it will help your body. Isaiah 58, it will change your whole world. Fasting will. You can do extended fast, or you can do periodical fast. In other words, you can do a day or two or 2 days. Let me tell you some things about fasting, what it does for you. It will begin to cleanse your body. All of you and all of me have things in our bodies because of what we eat and because of all the fast foods and the pizzas and this, that, and the other in the toxic world that we live in. We have things called toxins living in our body. Toxins are like when you, it's a trash pile. It's like your body takes in food, and then your body will begin to metabolize food, and it will begin to, and it'll say, okay, I'm going to send that to the liver. I'm going to send that to the heart. I'm going to send that to the brain, and I'm going to send that to all the blood. And it's like it just divides it up. God made an incredible machine called the body. The leftovers that it does not know what to do with is called trash, and the body's like, I don't know what to do with this. It doesn't know how to metabolize trash. Trash is toxins. Toxins graduate. They don't stay babies. Toxins graduate to things called free radicals. Free radicals are a bunch of rebels that run around in people's bodies, and they make you sick. Free radicals, the best thing that I can tell you about free radicals are they're like this. They will make you age early. They're like a wrecking ball, a wrecking machine that goes right down through the center of New York City, and it's swinging this wrecking ball. And listen, fasting, how are you guys doing back there? Because if it gets warm, people will go to sleep. Don't let people get warm, Marty, okay?